Lord, help us this evening to see you afresh. Oh, you are that babe lying in a manger. To know you, that you are the Lord of all, the King of kings, the Prince of peace. Speak to our hearts and minds this evening, we ask. Amen. The extraordinary thing about Christmas is that it's one event, but it's done in a multiple sort of ways, isn't it? If you think about it, you'll have your own ways of celebrating, probably ways handed down to you over the generations from granny and granddad. They did something and you've always done it that way. And you can't quite get it when a family does it a different way. It doesn't make sense, does it? And as the families merge and change, so when I married my wife, I found a whole load of new ways of doing Christmas that I had to think about, and the different traditions merged and they bumped into each other sometimes, but they get resolved and a new set of Christmas traditions come to pass that you pass on to the next generation as well. It's how we do Christmas, isn't it? It's what Christmas means to us. You'll have your own preferred time for buying the tree and decorating your home, beginning at the month or right up on Christmas Eve. I know people who do both of those. You'll have your own preferred time for buying your Christmas presents, October or Christmas Eve. It'll be somewhere in that gap. You have your own preferred time for your Christmas turkey and all the trimmings. Or actually, your family can't stand turkey, so you never have it, and that's your tradition. Christmas means so much to so many of us. It's a whole variety of traditions, a veritable pick and mix together, added and subtracted to as year proceeds to year. And somewhere in them, it's possible you might gather as a family. It's possible you'll have some decorations around. It's possible you'll like the idea of twinkling lights somewhere, a tree perhaps of some description somewhere in the house, in the home. It's good to sing carols, to remember those old, old songs that brought down the years. For those of you able, you like to have a log fire burning in the grate, maybe. Some of all you've got is a gas heater on the wall. But it's about the warmth and the love and the comfort. And of course, it's that last, isn't it? The warmth, the love and the comfort. It's the only bit you can't buy down the road, isn't it? You can't get it delivered to your front door. And yet, really, all the others could disappear if we could only keep the warmth, the love and the comfort. You know, we can guarantee warmth, love and comfort, maybe physically. A heating system works. We can get a hug from somebody. We can make sure we've got a comfy armchair to sit in. But they're harder to find when it's an emotional matter. That warmth of friendship, that love in company, that comfort just in the presence of those around you. Will, Nadine and Chris kindly shared what they felt Christmas meant for them. It was lovely to hear from Will and Marcus about their family and how they've learned to live that faith and how they realise how that faith passes the generations, how they've looked back and realised the value of the traditions that they had. Lovely to hear from Nadine as she talked about how you get contentment and fulfilment, not from the things around you, but from that deeper sense of the purposes of God within your life. And Chris, as he shared about the joy of the food and the fun and the traditions, but realizing ultimately Christmas is about sacrifice, a generous sacrifice, and a God who generously sacrificed all to become a baby lying in a manger. I do hope somehow through those three, you've been prompted to think about what Christmas means to you, what it means to have that warmth, that love, that comfort. It might be the sort of heartfelt Christmas meaning that I've found in this little Santa letter I came across. Dear Santa, I've already everything I could possibly wish for this year. Got my family, good friends and love. Please take care of those who need you. Thank you. The meaning of Christmas is the spirit of love, isn't it? It's something you can't buy because it comes from above. And Christmas means so many different things that we gather from a smorgasbord of options. But at its heart remains a festival, a party, a celebration of all that we most long for and hope for. That's the yearning of something from above. Christmas means... Well, let's look at it differently, shall we? Let's look about it. What would Christmas mean to God? thought about that, what it might mean for him, he who instigated this whole thing, this whole feast, this festival we celebrate, what actions he gave that give us our actions today. What does Christmas mean to God? I think it means meticulous planning. So much had to come together and so correctly that all the prophecies of old that we can read in the Old Testament would be poured into the life of but one person. Meticulous planning must have been needed for that. Also, sort of unlikely inclusion. This Almighty God, this Creator of all, chose to enact his great Christmas drama through the most unlikely, unprepossessing, and indeed unexpected men and women. Just like me, just like you, really. Unlikely, unprepossessing, and unexpected. There was Zechariah and Elizabeth, old in years, childless, aged, suddenly given the joy of becoming parents to John the Baptist. There was Joseph and Mary, young love blossoming, but an unplanned pregnancy they grappled with. Vacancies not available for a room in the inn. The town-wide shame ever gossiping over them. And shepherds on a hillside, humble, rough men, experts in their fields, but admired by none. Meticulous planning, unlikely inclusion, majesty discarding. The one who flung stars into space, we read about how he created the world in John chapter 1. The one who flung stars into space, he took frail flesh and lived among us. Born in a stable, laid in a manger, honoured by no one of any importance whatsoever. That, I think, is what Christmas means to God. A heavenly Father giving up his Son that we might be brought warmth, love, and comfort. The warmth of his friendship. He wants the love of our company. And he wants to offer us the comfort of his presence. And that's why the angels sang praises. Glory to God in the highest. That's why the angels invited the shepherds to go and to see. And today this very heavenly Father invites each of us, not just to be driving home for Christmas, that physical home of friends and family. Good and lovely, I pray that be for you. But to be driving home for Christmas to God's home, where warmth of his friendship, love for you, and comfort of his presence can be with you this Christmas, this year, this month, this week, forever. Let me put this in the form of a poem. Lord, you never force us to believe in you. You don't make us praise you. You won't command us to love you. But instead, you invite us to come. Lord, you don't deliberately wait out of sight. You don't always hide, leaving us guessing. You don't just hope we'll notice you. But instead, you invite us to come. Lord, you took such a great risk for us. You let go of so much. You made the first move. Lord, you invite us to come. Lord, you opened the door first. You made it all possible. You cleared the way between us. Lord, you invite us to come. Lord, you long for our coming. You came to meet our longing. You loved us first. Lord, you invite us to come. We're going to sing a carol that looks at the joy that came, that dawned that first Christmas. Joy has dawned upon the world. It's a bit of a newer carol, but you may well have come across it already. And it just shares some of the great story of that love of God that reaches out and invites us to come into his presence. We stand.